Good morning. You're welcome to Sunday School today, Sunday, August 25, 2024. Brought to you by the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Christ the Lord Parish, Lekki, Lagos. Today is our fourth interactive session and quarterly review of the 2023-2024 church year. So we shall review the 12 lessons taught during the quarter as briefly as possible. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this brand new day and for bringing us to the last quarterly review of this church year. As we review the Sunday school lessons taught in the past few weeks, help us to have a fresh understanding of your word in the name of Jesus and make us doers of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We started the fourth quarter with lesson 40 titled Natural Disasters, which are catastrophic events with atmospheric, geological, or hydrological origins. The first lesson outline showed the forms, such as earthquakes and hurricanes, effects, which include loss of lives and economic damages, and how they occur, usually when the laws of nature are at work, like when divergent weather patterns collide. There are differences between natural disasters and God's use of natural force. While natural disasters kill and maim indiscriminately, God's acts of judgment in the Bible were selective, such as when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their immorality. Again, natural disasters strike with little or no warning, whereas God gives warnings to the wicked before using natural forces against them. The second outline reveals that God allows natural disasters to serve as warning to unbelievers who only turn to him when they face disasters, and to remind us that nature is cursed due to the sin of Adam and Eve. Also, natural disasters are allowed to happen by God to establish his supremacy over man and to indicate the beginning of the last days. They happen to allow cause and effect to operate independently, such as when man damages the natural environment, and to allow believers to demonstrate God's love to humanity by helping, ministering, counseling victims, and leading them to Christ. Finally, disasters happen to establish God's judgment on the wicked. And we concluded, God can and does bring great good out of terrible tragedies. Lesson 41, titled Cultural Christianity, discusses why nowadays some have made Christianity represent an ideology or a social class rather than a lifestyle of obedience to God. The lesson examines the two shades of Christianity, cultural and biblical Christianity. Lesson outline 1 describes cultural Christians as nominal believers who superficially identify themselves as Christians but don't truly adhere to the tenets of the Christian faith nor have a personal conviction that Jesus is Lord, and so the practice is more social than spiritual. Usually, cultural Christians identify only with the good works of Jesus but reject the spiritual aspect required. Some consider themselves Christians because of their family background or because they give alms or bear Christian names or attend church regularly or as a way of declaring a religious affiliation. Clearly, cultural Christianity is not true Christianity and did not exist in the early church. The second outline describes the identification marks of cultural Christians to include those who deny the inspiration of Scripture or downplay true repentance as the first step towards knowing God. Such people focus only on Jesus' love and acceptance, excluding his teaching on hell, obedience, and self-sacrifice. They claim to know God, yet they tolerate and even celebrate ongoing sin. They redefine Scripture to accommodate culture, deny Jesus is the only way to God, perform religious activity without true devotion to Jesus, and they are lukewarm and choose to attend church based on wrong motives. Lesson 42 was titled Destiny Destroyers. We defined destiny as God's purpose for a man's life, as in the example of Jeremiah, who was known by God even before he was formed, and was sanctified and appointed a prophet unto the nations. Fulfilling destiny, however, depends on one's attitude and agreement with God, as there are destiny destroyers out there that can scuttle God's plans for our lives. Destiny destroyers include, but are not limited to, ignorance, pursuit of vanity, lack of faith, pride, sinful lifestyle, anger, laziness, and prayerlessness. The second outline mentions biblical characters whose destinies were destroyed, such as Solomon, who engaged in idolatry due to his marriages to many pagan women, Samson, who was disobedient to his parents, Judas Iscariot, who stole, Demas, who was worldly, Gehazi, who was greedy, Reuben, who dishonored his father by defiling his bed, and Achan in Joshua 7, who stole the devoted things. We concluded that every child of God must run away from destiny destroyers and live lives that will enhance the fulfillment of their destiny. Next, we treated lesson 43, fulfilling purpose. We learned that everything God created is for a purpose. However, man struggles to understand and fulfill his purpose for living. The first lesson outline revealed how man can discover his purpose in life, starting with being a new creation in Christ and craving for the understanding of his purpose on earth. This revolves around his potential, which involves identifying his inbuilt ability, talent, and God-given gifts, passion, which relates to things he exceptionally has a flair for, and prayers. After identifying his potential and the things he's passionate about, there is still need to pray for guidance so that the enemy will not hijack his purpose in life. Lesson outline 2 discusses how to live to fulfill destiny by asking God to reveal his plan for one's life, which may involve preparation of vision and mission statements to keep on track. Then achievable goals must be set and pursued a step at a time. It helps to identify and relate with people of like passion, to learn from their mistakes, and where need be, submit oneself to those who know better for mentoring. Attention must be focused on God while doing what pleases him, remembering to return all the glory to him. Moving on to lesson 44, titled Rahab, an unlikely ally. We discussed the story of an unlikely person, Rahab, a harlot, who had great faith in the God she hardly knew and ended up being a joint heir in the Abrahamic covenant and in the lineage of Jesus Christ. The first lesson outline discusses Rahab's character and deeds. She rented rooms out to travelers visiting Canaan, which was why the two spies sent by Joshua found lodging in her house. She was a selfless woman who ended up saving her household by using the information at her disposal and her negotiating skills to make the spies swear by the Lord, thereby showing her faith in the only true God. She was also smart enough to know her city would be overthrown, and in her wisdom joined herself to the winning side. The second outline discusses Rahab's achievements and lessons from her life, which include showing kindness to the spies by hiding them, earning salvation from destruction, belief in the stories about the God of Israel, and being a skillful negotiator who was named among the faith heroes in Hebrews 11:31. James 2:25 mentions she was justified by her works, while Matthew lists her in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab's story reveals to us that anyone can change from bad to good, so we should not write off anyone. Next, we treated lesson 45, evangelism on the go. This was defined as being busy, active, and innovative with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Different channels must be employed to reach the lost with the gospel. The two outlines, the Father's business and our business too, discussed the importance of evangelism. Evangelism is the Father's business because Jesus was specifically anointed by God for it. That is why he was sent. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus shows the importance of a soul, since the shepherd left 99 sheep to go after the one lost sheep. The second outline stresses that evangelism is our business too, because Jesus gave us a command to win souls in Matthew 16:15. Strategy employed must reveal creativity around opportunities to talk about Jesus, and this must be done sacrificially, not when convenient. We must live in a way that everything we do preaches Jesus to others. Evangelism business must flourish in our hands and go to the next generation. Intensive prayer is needful whilst the business is urgent. Lesson 46, titled Christian Virtues Followed. Virtue was defined as having a right inner disposition, affecting our motives, intentions, and outward conduct. The first lesson outline, attaining virtue, showed it is essential we must be holy and glorious like our God. Virtue can only be attained if we follow divine guidelines as stated in Philippians 4 verse 8, which include things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. We can only truly say we are virtuous when we practice 2 Peter 1 from verse 5 to 7, which encourages us to add to our faith goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, and love. Virtue is likened to a person of faith climbing a ladder with the attainment of a step leading to the next, and the first step being goodness, followed by knowledge of the Lord, and so on, until the last step of agape love. The second outline, the desire to excel, emphasizes our goal is to be like Jesus Christ. This involves a willingness to give up lesser things to achieve greater goals and be prepared to work towards perfection. This requires humility, as we should be ready to be taught by others regardless of position or age. Perilous times, lesson 47, was discussed next. Perilous times constitute part of the last days. Whilst last days refer to the period between Christ's ascension into heaven and his second coming to the earth, this implies the last days started from biblical times. Paul mentioned in his writings that the conduct of people will reveal perilous times, characteristics of which include people loving themselves and being self-centered, covetousness, having the lust of the eyes, craze for wealth and materialism, boasting, pride, speaking immorally of God and secret things, children disobedient to parents and dishonoring them physically and spiritually, inability to be thankful to God and mankind for good deeds, unholiness, lacking natural affection, loving of pleasure more than God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and so on. Believers were cautioned to turn away from ungodly practices, be conscious of the prophecies, avoid all forms of carnality, be watchful and prayerful, and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Next, we treated lesson 48, the second coming of Christ. We learned that the second coming of our Lord will be like his ascension, personal, bodily, and visible with power. Our Lord's second coming will be in two phases. The first is the rapture, which is the coming of the Lord for his saints. The second will be the coming of the Lord with his saints to set up the millennium. Between the first and second phases is the period known as the Great Tribulation. The first outline discusses the prophecies and purpose of Jesus' second coming, and the second outline, the manner of his coming. Since his first coming was prophesied in Isaiah 7 verse 14 and Isaiah 9 verse 6, and it came to pass, we have confidence that the prophecies of the second coming will also be fulfilled. Besides, both Daniel and Jesus himself foretold his second coming. The purpose of the second coming is to complete the salvation of the saints by receiving the saints in the first phase, and in the second phase to execute judgment as a conquering king and reign majestically, as we see in Revelation 11:15, and finally to destroy death. Regarding the manner of his coming, the first phase which is the rapture, involves Jesus descending suddenly in the glory of his Father from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the saints meeting him in the air and being with him forever. In the second phase, Jesus will return to the earth with power and great glory, accompanied by his angels with his saints in flaming fire and bodily, just as he ascended. The Great Tribulation, which is lesson 49, was discussed next. There are different kinds of tribulation mentioned in the Bible, but the Great Tribulation is the biggest one. It encompasses the unprecedented hardship, distress, and perplexity that will be experienced by those not raptured. We learned from the first outline, understanding the Great Tribulation, that whilst the saints are expected to be saved from it, the unbelieving Jews, unsaved or backslidden Gentiles, will be candidates of the Great Tribulation. It will start on earth after the rapture of the church and the revelation of the Antichrist, the man of sin. And regarding the timing, it will be the last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel, revealed in Daniel 9, verse 24. Whilst there are 7 days in a week, a day here represents a year, meaning the last week is 7 years. The first half of the 7 years, that is the first 3.5 years, will be for the full physical manifestation of the Antichrist, where he will make a covenant with Israel, whilst the last 3.5 years will be the time of unprecedented trouble, which will culminate in the second coming of Christ to reign on earth. Events in the days of Great Tribulation will be terrifying and will include religious persecution of Christians who miss the rapture, unparalleled global religious deception, untold global economic problem, during which only those who receive the mark of the beast can buy and sell, unrighteous and abominable religious practices all over the world. Only those who keep themselves holy till Jesus comes at rapture shall be delivered from the days of tribulation, while sinners and backsliders will face the danger of the Great Tribulation. Lesson 50, titled The Millennial Reign, was taught next. The millennial reign refers to the period of 1,000 years of a glorious kingdom of Christ on earth after his return from Armageddon, the place in which God will gather his enemies for destruction, according to Revelation 16:16. The first outline reveals the nature of the millennium, which starts at the end of the tribulation period and elapses before the emergence of the new earth and new heaven. During the millennium of Christ's reign on earth, Satan will be bound with chains in the bottomless pit. Some tribulation saints will survive to live on with their terrestrial bodies, while the saints accompanying Christ, who will descend upon Mount Olives, will reign in their glorified bodies over cities and the people on earth. Christ will manifest as King of Righteousness, King of Israel, King of Kings, and King over all the earth, and reveal himself as the great God. Israel will be regathered from the nations, converted and restored to the land under the rule of Jesus Christ. The blessings of the millennium include the establishment of a theocratic government where God will reign through Jesus with the apostles and saints from Adam to the millennium, reigning with him in a physically and spiritually perfect environment. Society will be crime-free. There will be abundant joy and great comfort, increased knowledge of the Lord in the hearts of men. All lands will flourish. All will enjoy divine health, increased lifespan, and domestic and wild animals will live together in peace. Finally, the quarter ended with lesson 51, New Heaven, New Earth. The Bible teaches in Matthew 5:18 that this world will not last forever. The day of the Lord, which refers to the end of this world, will occur after God's final judgment, and the earth will be destroyed by fire, according to Revelation 20:7-10. The two lesson outlines of lesson 51 discuss the passing away of the heavens and the earth and the emergence of the new heaven and the new earth. According to 2 Peter 3 verses 10-12, heavens will be consumed by a tremendous explosion and all the elements making up the universe will be melted in the fervent heat. The event will be noisy, and everyone will see and hear it. Revelation 21 describes a new heaven and a new earth, which will include the new Jerusalem, the capital city of heaven, a place of perfect holiness. In this city, the saints whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life will live forever. As followers of Christ, we must get our priorities right and be diligent to be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. This brings us to the end of the last quarterly review of the 2023-24 church year of the RCCG. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to refresh our memories. We pray that all we have learnt will be hidden in our hearts and put to good use in the name of Jesus. May we all remain faithful to the end, and after our sojourn on earth, make heaven in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.